The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
She's a two-face.
And when I come in the next day, you can kind of notice a little bit. But by the third or fourth day, you forget, okay? Yes, there I said.
Boy, am I glad to see you.
You expecting someone else?
You never know.
You know, you might want to take the tunnel.
So, what do you feel like eating, Chinese or Italian?
I put a little hair product in. Sue me. Who cares? Own it.
Kramer, hi.
Oh, hello.
It's Gwen. We met at the coffee shop.
Uh-huh.
I'm dating your friend Jerry.
I don't know who you really are, but I've seen Jerry's girlfriend, and she's not you. You're much better.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running.
And we're back. She's trying to hide it. Happy 2025, everybody. Are you a big New Year's guy, Gabe?
No, it's the most overrated day known to mankind.
Okay. Tell me how you really feel.
New Year's Eve, most overrated holiday.
I'd agree.
I mean, you can't agree.
Why?
Because you threw a party for 125 people.
Yeah. It might as well have been February 18th.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You do like to throw parties, so.
Doesn't
need to.
Someone in my house likes to throw parties.
Oh.
Matter of fact, after this party yesterday, because we had the cleanup party, you know, because there's got to be a party for the cleanup, you know, so another 12 people came over.
No, hold on. Wait. You invite people over to clean up from your New Year's Eve party? Am I reading this correctly? Am I hearing this right?
I don't invite people because they show up at 11:30 and I started cleaning up at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, so
by the time they got here, the cleanup was mostly done.
Wait, so then they just made another mess because now it's the cleanup party and now you have to clean up after the cleanup party.
Correct. So they didn't leave till about
after the party is
7 o'clock
party,
last night. Correct.
You know, as we
and
all
then
know.
They came to the conclusion that next year there will be no party. We're going to go to the Bahamas or the Caribbean, which I don't believe for a millisecond. Because the problem is this: if you have a party every year, mm-hmm. people expect it.
Sure, but so, you can. I mean, you can put your foot down, can't you?
Wait, do you not want to have a party anymore?
I don't know if you wanted a party to begin with.
It's fine. It's fine. See, the problem with having a party that you're hosting is you have to talk to everybody.
See, this is why I thought maybe he doesn't want to have the party to begin with.
All I want to do is sit in my corner with my glass of wine and watch football. I don't want to have to. I've been known to sit in that chair for 6 hours. I don't want to have to get up and have forced
conversation. Day like yesterday, that's real easy to do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. New Year's Eve? I mean, the only thing Chewy wanted to do was drink his wine, watch the Fiesta Bowl, go to bed after the Fiesta Bowl.
Yes. I mean, where do you guys stand on forced conversation?
Ugh. I accept that it is a necessary evil of the world.
Yes.
But I hate small talk.
It's probably one of the most uncomfortable things I have to do. Because, A, I don't know anyone's name.
Wait, do you call him buddy? Hey, Chief.
Hey, thanks for making it, you know?
Not only do you not
know... What's going on, sport?
Not only do you not know anyone's name, you don't care to know anyone's name.
That's part of it.
Right? Like, this is not just a, like, ignorance thing. This is a willful ignorance.
I would say out of the 125, I didn't know 40.
Oh, I thought he was going to say 123.
Wow. No. So 125 people, that's hard to police, isn't it, Chu? Like, you got bouncers? What is the standard? What is the protocol for getting in to the Chimura New Year's Eve party? You got to show a wristband? You got to show an invite? A QR code?
No. We have an ex-CIA guy who's a friend who can't sit still, and he sweeps the perimeter.
Okay.
No, and how I knew, you guys would be very interested at this group. It's very eclectic. So we had a fighter pilot. Listen to this. He will not admit to me that he's in the CIA, even though everyone knows he is. So my other buddy, who looks like Rex Ryan.
Okay.
He's a spitting image of Rex Ryan. He was a fighter pilot during a couple of the Gulf War and stuff like that. So the two never really met. So, and I'm always accusing this guy of being in the CIA. So the fighter pilot goes, sees him, and he goes, looking at him. And this is probably 10, 15 years later. He's like, God, the last time I saw you was at Camp Waka Waka in Afghanistan. And it blew his cover, and he got really uncomfortable and tried playing it off. So now I know. But there was a lapse in security at the party.
What do you mean?
Well, Ants was kind of walking around. You take out the trash, obviously a lot of trash, and there were two golf carts, which no one comes in golf carts, so it means it's neighborhood people.
Wait, I thought everyone came in golf carts. I just imagined it was a bunch of people.
Yeah, isn't that how you get around in Florida? A bunch of old people drive around in golf carts?
We only had two neighbors, the neighbors to the left and the neighbors to the right. So Ange was bending over to pick up the trash, and he said something inappropriate. And Angie, of course, said, you know, if my husband heard you say that, he would kill you. So then the guy kind of fled. But there were so many people. Then Angie goes to Mason, my third son, and tells him. So Mason was a little tipsy. He got the description, but there was also a good friend of mine who doesn't drink and is the nicest guy in the world. He thought it was him. He went up to him, nicest guy in the world, said, did you say something inappropriate to my mother? Well, then it got real uncomfortable because Mason went low. So then he had to go tell Angie, and Angie's like, no, that's our really good friend. He's the nicest guy in the world. So Angie had to go over, and it was a total misunderstanding. But the one thing you know about anything in my life is there always going to be drama. There's going to be something.
Yeah, which is why this party's not going away. This party's not going to be escaping your life. There's less drama, Chewy, if you end up going to the Bahamas next year.
Yeah, and you love drama, so you'll have to deal with the party to get your drama fix.
Yeah. I just got to negotiate. Just let me sit in my chair. Then I started getting ripped on by my friends.
Now it's a party.
Yeah, then that's how you know they're
your friends. Who thought I was kind of sitting at the throne?
Because you were sitting in the corner in your chair?
By yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
With a glass of wine.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question about these people who apparently maybe crashed your party. Who cares? If you have 125 people at the house, I just want to be clear on this. If the gentleman hadn't said something about Ange.
That's the problem. You say, who cares? Angie cares.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if they hadn't said that, is it okay if you have a couple of interlopers? Is it okay if a few people...
Not at all.
What?
Not at all.
Talk to the people who are there. What do you care if there's four more people just roaming around the property?
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying.
I don't mind.
Oh, you don't care at all. I thought you were saying not at all. It's not allowed.
The one neighbor to the right, who's the sweetest lady ever, brought her best friend, who was the neighbor next to her, people down here, because there's a lot of East Coasters, like I haven't met I probably haven't met four of our neighbors that are like right around our house. And I really don't care. You know, that's how I grew up. I never knew my neighbors when I grew up in Mass. So she wound up bringing the neighbor next to her and then the one over. Perfectly fine. Have any, you know, whatever you want. Don't have a problem with it whatsoever.
I guess I'm saying like when a party swells that large, who cares if there's a few people who are coming and going that you might not know or that are peripheral acquaintances as opposed to invitees? Now, if you're having eight people over, Gabe, like your little festivity for the holidays, yes, it's weird if four more people stroll in.
Well, you're going to notice. Yeah, correct, if exactly. Somebody's walking through my front door.
So what is that number? Is it 25? Is it 50? What is the number where it's like, if they wander in, I can't talk to every person there anyway, so...
It's got to be people who don't know other people that are invited to the party, I believe.
People who don't know. I thought you would have to have like a Kevin Bacon. I thought it would have to be like at least 2 or 3 degrees of separation.
Yeah, but if other people are bringing people that Chewy doesn't even know, you know.
But that's a 1 degree of separation.
Sure, but he still doesn't know them.
Do you have to know the people that are being brought to?
No, I think if you know everyone, say it's a group of 12 couples and you know everyone, I don't think an outsider can come in.
Okay.
That you don't know. Am I right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like, there were people there that I did not know. I had no idea. And they were invited. Because Emoji Girl, her problem is, Emoji Girl, this was supposed to be 60 to 80. But when she goes out.
This was, Chewy, you knew this wasn't going to be 60 to 80.
And it
this
doubled,
was at 100.
And it doubled?
Yeah.
60? And 125 is literally twice as many people.
This was at 100 before you left Wisconsin to go back down to Florida.
Because of Emoji Girl. She goes out and she invites people.
Wait, and she'll
inform us. She'll be like, we're up to 88. Like,
see,
great.
Now that I think is a party foul. So showing up to a neighbor's party that has like a very, very large group of people, I don't think that's a party foul. But I think inviting people to someone else's party is.
Yeah, but she's kind of the co-party person.
You got to give me all the information, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, obviously so she has free reign.
So she's on the planning committee is what you're telling me now.
Yes, she is. Yes, she's
information
on the planning
committee. That would have been helpful yesterday, wedding singer. Okay, so she is allowed to invite people. Do you have a cap on how many people she's allowed to invite? Did she go through her allotment?
Well, her husband puts a cap on friends.
Doesn't sound like he's doing a very good job of putting a cap on friends.
Not really.
I'm sorry,
no.
What was that? No, hold on. He puts a cap on how many friends she can have or they can have.
It's her, but she makes too many friends. It's crazy.
So he cuts her off?
He tries to.
You've had too many, you're cut off?
Oh, yes. Angie will cut her off, too.
I'm not talking about alcohol. I'm talking about friends.
No, friends. Yes, yes. She's a chronic friend finder.
I was about to say, I'm guessing those two things go hand in hand.
Remember
when
the Marie Kondo thing was really big a year or two ago, and it was like you have to get rid of things that don't spark joy?
Yeah.
Is that how it works? Like every year you go through an assessment, and if you don't spark joy, you're out.
Yeah.
Or just a one-in, one-out policy, you know?
Yeah.
You're the bouncer at the door, one-in, one-out.
At capacity.
You're gonna make a new friend. You gotta kick if somebody's gonna be a new friend, you gotta kick an old friend out.
I don't love it. I don't love
it. She doesn't like silence. My guess is she probably talks in her sleep nonstop. Because she doesn't like silence. That's clear. Hence the emoji jail. But I'm kinda since it's the holidays, I'm a little lax. It's fine.
Wait, so now
like I took all the emoji balls. I told you she bought me like 50 emoji little, what are they, stress balls?
Mm-hmm.
And told her I threw it in the pool and I said, if there's too much talking, you're going in the pool with your emoji balls.
This sounds like a great party.
Care.
I'm actually a little upset that we weren't invited. I'm not sure I could have made it happen with the old, you know, job. The old responsibilities in California.
Yeah, it might have been tough.
Would have been tough.
Yeah, fly across country to get there for game day the next morning.
It does sound like an entertaining little scrum you've put together there on New Year's Eve. I hope it never ends. I hope you keep on doing it. Where were you going to go? Cancun?
I don't know. No, the Bahamas or somewhere short. That's only like half-hour flight.
I don't even know who I would.
It's never going to happen.
Here's the problem with this party, Chu. Like, I didn't have 125 people at my wedding. Like this is an entirely like I can't wrap my head around having 125 people at a New Year's Eve party when in the biggest party I've ever thrown in my life I did not get to that number.
Here's the problem. You want to know what the number is for the Bahamas for next year already? Because Emoji Girls already started on it. 30.
Yeah, but that's not on your dime. The party's on your dime.
I know, but I have to hang out with.
I'm a
six couple guy.
Don't you think your reputation precedes you?
Obviously not.
Don't you think these people know that you don't like to talk to them? You'll allow them to be in your, what do they call it? Atmosphere? No. What is it? The word.
Circle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like. No, I'm trying. Stratosphere? I don't know. I'll think of it. Maybe. Probably not, actually. You allow them to be in your realm. I think that might be what I was going for. But the rule is that you don't have to talk to them. I think that's a good compromise.
So what does that make me? Am I I'm not an extrovert or an introvert, am I?
You're definitely an introvert. You're a wannabe introvert. You want to be left alone. You would rather have people not in your house, but you are forced to be an extrovert. Whether it's by your wife, your wife's friends, whomever, you prefer to be an introvert, but you are being forced to be an extrovert with the number of parties and soirees that you throw and attend.
Yeah, look, you're just going to have to wrap your brain around this, Chew. You're just going to have to wrap your brain around the fact that you're popular. Okay?
I don't think it's me.
Hey, you're being dragged along, right? At least half of it's you.
There are worse things to be dragged along into, by the way. Popularity is not a bad one, I don't think. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What were you going to say, bud?
I think a lot of it is the level of booze and the level of food.
Oh, because you have high standards, right?
Yeah.
Do you get a little more chatty the more wine you have?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's part of the problem.
I don't want to move. Having to walk across the room trumps that, Gabe. If you want to come to me, I'll chat you up. Does that make me a Richard, though? Or is that just who I am?
That's just who you are.
Okay. Fine.
You're just an old man who prefers his chair.
Gabe's trying to get invited to the party, I can tell. We got to take a break.
Because I would be the filter. I would have to sit in front of Chewy, and they would have to get through me in order to get the big
Chewy
guy.
You're the Chewy bouncer now.
Yeah. Chewy's the VIP room, and I'm the guy running the velvet rope.
ID. Going to need your ID. How long have you known the big guy? Yeah?
What do you want to talk to him about?
And then you've got a list of topics that Chewy will allow discussion on. I want to talk about the college football playoff. I want to talk about that targeting non-call in the Arizona State game early, Texas game early. Obviously, the Sugar Bowl will be today as it has been postponed due to the circumstances and tragedy that occurred in New Orleans. But we've got Jason Wilde coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around for that.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, I suppose it's time to get serious. Tapping my papers. Tap, tap, tap. Jason Wilde hanging out with us this morning, and certainly there is stuff to discuss. Good morning, Jason.
Were you unserious earlier?
Have you been around us before? We're unserious whenever we're allowed to be unserious. Every once in a while, a segment like this requires us to buckle down. But for the most part, we are unserious human beings.
I always thought you kind of cracked the whip on these guys, like got them to stay in line. And instead, it turns out you're unserious too sometimes. So good to know.
It's kind of like stretching, Jason. That's what we do in the first segment. We get loose. We stretch.
We literally call it the warm-up in our production meetings. Like, all right, everybody, what are we doing for the warm-up? Let's talk about Jaire Alexander out for the year with the torn PCL. Apparently had surgery. We assume it was like an arthroscopic scope type of thing on Tuesday, which begs the greater question, the going forward question. Has Jaire played his last snap with the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, that is the question that I asked was, if they had done this scope right away, would he now be available for the stretch run? And Matt LaFleur said he didn't want to live in the past, and hindsight is 20/20 and everything else. So this has been a fascinating case study in lack of communication and transparency. I think we talked about this multiple times, that in the vacuum of a lack of information, conjecture reigns, and now the guy had surgery. So does it change how people view all the stuff that's been going on? And quite frankly, does the head coach change? I thought his tone was different, obviously, yesterday, after being kind of a frustrated, irritated tone previously. So, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, if they move on from him, it would be $19 million in dead cap space. But his cap number for next year, if he is on the team, is currently $25 million plus. So you're looking at about a $6 million cap savings in terms of how much he would be counting against the cap. But then again, you also don't have him on your team. But you look at the last 4 years, 2021, he missed 13 games. Last year, he missed 10. This year, he's going to have missed 10 again. So in the last 4 years, the Packers have played 68 regular season games, and he has played in half, and he has missed half. So I don't think that they probably like that percentage very much, certainly at the cost that he is at. So I think there's a very distinct possibility that his time in Green Bay will be over.
Jason, how do you think they're going to address who's going to play in this game? Will they be eyeballing the Washington-Dallas game? And let's say they finish at halftime, both of them are on the same, and Washington's up 28-3. Will they pull everyone, you think?
So I tried to get Matt LaFleur to kind of explain his thinking, and that could have gone better. Whatever's the best decision is whatever works. Well, no, that's not how this works, actually. Like, yeah, you're right. You're going to get criticized if you do some – like he brought up how in 2021 they played their guys in the first half of the regular season finale because they already had the number one seed. And then they had the bye, and then they got beat at home by the 49ers. Well, did they get beat at home by the 49ers because the starters didn't play in the second half of the regular season finale? I think probably not. But his point was that, you know, I'm going to get criticized if whatever we do doesn't work. I get it, but that's not how we make decisions. And you've said it a million times yourself, Coach, that you make the best decision possible with the information you have. Now, he did make a good point in saying that they have a lot of guys on their injury report. None of them are catastrophic injuries like what some other teams in the league have dealt with, but an extra week of not rushing Quay Walker back or not rushing Evan Williams back, those types of decisions make all the sense in the world. So I wouldn't expect any of the guys that you saw in the injury report that were DNPs yesterday in the walkthrough would be guys that you would see on Sunday. But I'm pretty certain Jordan Love's going to play. But to your point, you know, back in the old days, back when you and Don Hutson were playing together, you know, Mike Holmgren used to turn off the scoreboards so you couldn't see what was going on in the other games. That's just dumb. Like if the Commanders are up 28-3, and they're not being coached by Kyle Shanahan, and I guess they're coached by Dan Quinn anyway, so he knows about being up 28-3. But I would think that you would want to be smart with your best players and say, okay, we're not getting the sixth seed. Let's make it the Malik Willis show, and let's get Bo Melton and Malik Heath some work, and let's get Emmanuel Wilson some carries, et cetera, et cetera.
So hold on one second, Gabe. All of a sudden, when you were talking about scoreboard watching, Jason, my brain flashed back to 2003, Nathan Poole, Arizona Cardinals, Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Famously, they were not posting the score
correct
of that game at Lambeau Field, right?
Correct.
Jason, you were there, right?
Yeah, I can't speak to whether or not they were showing the score.
Jason, I was there. I that was my senior year of high school. Me and four buddies like went up, each got, we ended up all sitting alone because we like went and got tickets, you know, just off the street. And I remember because they blew the doors off of Denver because they, you know, sat their guys and Amon Green had a 98-yard touchdown run. The last 5 minutes of that game, everybody was looking up at the at the boxes because like they refused because Sherman refused to have the score shown. And like, I remember celebrating in the stands, having no idea how that game actually ended. Then, you know, obviously finding out later that it ended in the dramatic fashion that it did, and they flashed on the scoreboard after the Packers had won, that they had won the division, so we knew that they were in the playoffs. But yeah, Sherman was not allowing the score in that game.
So I remember everybody turning around and watching or reacting to the final score. But yeah, what I remember most vividly is the fact that the Packers were winning so handily that everyone had their back to the field.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make sense that he wasn't showing the score. But I guess I didn't know how effectively you could see what was happening on like the TV.
Oh, we were just looking for some sort of reaction from people in the boxes.
Mm.
And that's all. So like when everybody started going nuts, I started going nuts just assuming that the Vikings had lost and what happened had happened.
What does Gabe Neitzel going nuts look like?
My hand, by the time I met up with my buddies, because we had said, hey, let's meet up, because like, it's 2003, I had like the Nokia brick cell phone. But
well,
like,
that was the issue.
Not everybody had a cell phone.
But you didn't have Wi-Fi, and you didn't the access on your phone where you could be watching a game on YouTube TV or following along on ESPN.com.
You could make a call, send a text, or play Snake. Those were the three things you could do on this phone. Like, that was the extent of what the cell phone was in 2003. But not everybody had one in our group. So we said, hey, after the game, we're going to meet right here. And from where I was sitting, that was like clear on the other side of the stadium. Jason, my hand has never been as sore from the number of high fives that I gave to every Packer fan that crossed my path on my way to our meeting point.
Thanks for clarifying that it was from giving high fives.
Oh, mischievous in 2025.
And there's Jason's stretch. Jason, back to Jair. If they decide to move on from him, is this a trade or is this a flat-out cut?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know. Like, if you're one of the other 31 teams, what are you willing to give up for a guy who's missed 34 of the last 68 regular season games, right? I don't know the answer to that. I would think that either way, that move would obviously be one of cap savings, not of, hey, we don't think this guy can play anymore. We just don't know how much more he can play and be healthy. I mean, here's the disappointing thing about this. Like, this season was supposed to be different with him, right? Like, he was much more engaged with the coaching staff. He didn't hate Jeff Hafley like he couldn't stand Joe Barry. He attended the off-season program, which he didn't the previous year. And both times he had $700,000 worth of bonus money tied into it. So it's not like, you know, he cared about that money 2 years ago and then just cared about it this year. You know, he had the pick six in Tennessee, right? He missed a couple of games early in the year with a quad and with a groin injury. But, like, the bottom line was he was playing good football for them again. And then, obviously, the last play of the game in Jacksonville, he hurts his knee. Look, the problem here is not just him. Like, Eric Stokes, who has played better, I would say.
Oh, he was so close, Jason. I thought he was going to get a fingertip on that high throw, and I thought he was going to end the streak.
Yeah, and then we were debating in the press box in Minneapolis whether the overthrow that hit him was it the Jefferson throw?
Yeah,
counts
as a pass.
The PBU. And they did not get the official scorer did not give it to him. So
poor guy.
The streak continues. But like, he's a free agent because they didn't pick up the fifth year. So are they going to completely remake that position? They have the cap room to do it. They're thrilled with Carrington Valentine. He may be the next in line after Mark Tauscher, Donald Driver, Adam Timmerman. He may be the next seventh-round pick that we look back on and say, "Wow, what a bargain that guy turned out to be." But they're going to need a depth charge especially if they move on both from Stokes and from Jair.
Well, that's why I wonder if they just decide the $6 million savings isn't worth it and they roll the dice. Because for the $6 million that you could save if, you know, you trade them or cut them or whatever, is it worth... I don't know what you can do with that $6 million to make that position better. Is it just better to roll the dice and then if it doesn't work out, then you move on from him next year? Because despite everything that happened with this, Jason, and I feel the same thing happened with David Bakhtiari. We talked a little bit of this on Tuesday. Like, because now he needs surgery... You know, there was, well, does he want to play? Does Jair want to be out there? Well, if the dude needed surgery, I think he wanted to be out there, couldn't get out there, now needs the surgery. I don't know if he handled it the best way, the Packers handled it the best way, because now there's a thought process out there of does he want to be here?
Well, I mean, you're right. At the same time, you know, his surgery was not nearly as invasive as what Bakhtiari needed.
Sure.
But I would argue that Goody's track record would tell you he doesn't want guys that are breaking down.
Yeah.
Right? And I think he was kicking himself every day from the extension for Bakhtiari. You know, it was, you know, he tore his ACL on that New Year's Eve turning into 2021. So for the 4 years after that or whatever, 3 years, I guess, I think he was thinking, God, you know, I gave him a third contract. I had my reservations. So I have a hard time picturing Goody being willing to roll the dice. I think he would be more willing to say, all right, I'm going to go get, you know, kind of the Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith equivalent at corner, which would be guys coming off their first contracts, not first-round picks, so they haven't gotten paid exorbitant amounts to this point in their careers. Are ascending players at the position. That's what I would think he would try to do. But again, I just think that he is not a fan of older players who've had injuries. And Jair will turn 28, which certainly is not old for most of us. But I think with his injury history, I think Goody will see him as old. And I if you forced me to choose, I would be predicting he will not be on the roster more likely than he will be.
Last thing before we let you go, Jason, there is a report, a rumor out there that the Green Bay Packers will be playing in Ireland in 2025. I believe my reaction to that was Matt LaFleur is going to throw a huge fit, huge, enormous, epic temper tantrum about his team yet again having to play an international game. Maybe temper tantrum is a little dramatic, but I can't imagine the coach is thrilled about this information.
Oh, no, he's. I'm sure he's not. And maybe with every subsequent international game, he'll become a better actor when it comes to pretending that he's not irritated publicly. You know, I thought he did a better job with Brazil than he did with London, so we'll see if he does a better job if this comes to fruition with Ireland than he did with Brazil. But no, he wants to play 17 noon games at Lambeau Field, and that's never going to happen for him. But this is not music to his ears, Danny Boy.
All right, Jason Wilde. I love the Danny Boy reference throwing it in there for Ireland. If anybody needs some tips on Ireland, I was there just a few months ago for the college football kickoff, and I would be happy to share those with any Packers fans who decide to make the trip. Jason Wilde, we appreciate you. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday morning right here on 94.5 ESPN.
Time to tell you about my friends at Bunzel's Meat Market, 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee. They have you covered with their amazing homemade food. Bunzel's full-service meat department can get you what you need, plus their deli and bakery, second to none. Bunzel's family wants to thank you for your business and wish you a happy new year. This is where you need to be going. It is top-notch. I went there a couple of times over the holiday weeks, and even though it's slammed, they get you in and out. They're so incredibly efficient, and it's the only place I trust. If I'm going to be throwing something on the smoker, you bet I'm going to be heading over to Bunzel's Meat Market in 90th and Burleigh here in Milwaukee. I've been going there for years. Recommend you stop by, experience what Bunzel's has to offer. Always check them out online with all the different specials and deals at bunzels.com.
I'm not too blind to see.
Little Rolling Stones this morning from Will back there working the ones and twos. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We just talked to Jason Wilde about Jair Alexander's future with the Green Bay Packers. If you missed any of that, you can always find it on Wisconsin On Demand. Chewy, what are your thoughts on that? Like, I never want to criticize a guy who is not available because of injury, but you tell us all the time that, like, guys have to play through injuries at times, and it feels like the great debate here is, should they have allowed Jair to get the scope on the PCL weeks ago when this first became an issue, when this first cropped up, and then maybe, just maybe, he's back on the field for a playoff run?
A couple of things. You know, I've told you guys I've had a PCL, and it was a bad one. It's something that typically doesn't need surgery. It's like an MCL, you know? But I think there is an obligation, and call me old school or whatever, I think there is an obligation, and it should be, you know, part of the contract and the money you receive to play when you're not 100%. That's just part of it. You can't play this game when you're 100% all the time. And then I think that's what's frustrating about Jair. You know, sometimes you have to go out there if you're 92, 95%. I think that's, you're obligated as a player, and I think that's part of what the money represents. And I think the frustrating part for everyone in the building is he marches to the beat of his own drum. Because if you go back to the Chicago game, the medical staff said, hey, he can play. We think he's fine. And then he plays 10 plays, and then, you know, for this year, it seemed all downhill from there. So I just think, I really think LaFleur at the end of there said, you have one more strike, you know, with all the stuff he did the previous year with going out and being a cap. And I think he gave him one more strike, and I think Jair kind of saw the writing on the wall and was going to do what he wanted to do.
You're talking about last year when the two got together, last year, right? Wasn't there a story about them kind of coming together and having a meeting?
An exit meeting, yeah. Because you typically don't have exit meetings with the head coach. You just have exit meetings with your position coach. But I distinctly remember there was a report that came out that he sat down with LaFleur after the season. I'm sure LaFleur spelled it out for him.
But I also remember you talking about, you know, your PCL injury, Chew, and, you know, like you had a hitch in your giddy-up. Like you weren't running smooth.
Yeah.
And that position, like if you're not running smooth, you're toast. Like you can't be out there. You know what I'm saying? Like that position, if you're left on an island, if he's trying to defend the litany of great receivers exist in this league and you have a little bit of a hitch and you can't keep up, like you're toast. Like
in
you can't
this division?
Play. Yeah, you can't.
Sure,
play.
But Gabe, that was 14 days after I tore my PCL.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, what are we at now?
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like when he first played against Chicago and now it turns out the dude needs surgery on it. Like I don't know. I don't think this was a matter of him not wanting to be out there, not wanting to play. I just think that that position specifically, it's tough when you have a leg injury, when the quick twitch nature of being a defender, of being a cornerback is so important, especially given how good the receivers are.
But Gabe, isn't that selfish? Isn't that selfish? Because the only reason I went out there and played, and it was probably selfish on my part, because I thought myself at 85% was better than the guy behind me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to, Jair at 95% is probably better than the guy that's behind him.
But
right?
Obviously he wasn't at 95% if he eventually needed surgery. Like, I don't think too many guys, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Chew, but I'm guessing there's not a lot of guys who are at 95% that end up requiring surgery.
I guess what I'm struggling with, guys, is the original injury was sustained on October 27th. That feels like a decade ago at this point. And it feels like, again, with the arthroscopic surgeries and the advancements made in medicine, that is something that you could be back on the field in a few months. Like, again, it depends on the severity. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had several scopes, and there have been a few that were, oh, did I even have anything done? I feel great. I feel fine. And then there were others were like, whoa, that was intense. And I'm not an expert on arthroscopic surgery by any means. I'm just talking about my own experiences and how it can run the gamut, how there can be a spectrum of recovery. And it just makes me wonder if we had nipped this sucker in the bud, if we had gotten after it right away, if maybe he is available closer to 100% for a playoff run. When this is a really bad unit, guys. This is one of the Packers' worst units. Certainly, defensively, you can make the argument that the defensive line and their inability to get a pass rush and put pressure on opposing quarterbacks is up there. But this is a bad unit. And again, when I was crunching the numbers yesterday, guys, like, you don't want this unit facing the Philadelphia Eagles. You don't want this unit facing the Detroit Lions. You don't want this unit facing Justin Jefferson and company and the Minnesota Vikings. You might make it through if they face the Rams. You might.
Even then, that's terrifying because Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are really damn
and
good.
And they were not playing
play the first time around. Like, both those guys are really good.
One other point to the surgeries in players, and you see it at the end of every season, Gabe. Oh, so-and-so's getting his elbow cleaned up. He needed arthroscopic surgery. Oh, so-and-so's getting his knee. So should they not play? No, those are guys that are like, you know what? I'm not going to let my guys down. You know?
But
yeah,
I think
I'm at 92%. I'm not going to complain about this. I'll have surgery at the end of the year, and they'll fix it up.
But I just...
He's not willing to do that.
But
he's not willing to do that.
But I look at that position, Chu, and let's say he goes out there. Like, I think it just specifically at that position, like if he's got an elbow injury, whatever, like your legs are so important as a defensive back and trying to keep up with these receivers as quick as they are, and then you have to react and be on top of that. Like your legs, any sort of injury to your leg where it's going to slow you down just puts you so far behind the eight ball where I don't know if Jair tried to play through this thing. But I think that it would have been worse off for the Packers because I don't think that with a leg injury like this, it would have been so hard for him to defend Justin Jefferson.
I also think that he was conscious of the criticism that we have given him, and I could make the argument it was deservedly so, but every time he goes out there and he gets toasted by a Justin Jefferson and we're going, oh, Jair's lost a step. Oh, Jair, what are you doing? You're our number one. We're paying you all that money. You got to be able to cover these guys man-to-man. You got to be able to win those 50-50 battles, et cetera, et cetera. And we were critical of him. In his mind, he's thinking, I don't want to go out there, have these guys burn me out there and then take the criticism. So I'd rather be on the sideline with my injury, knowing that I'm injured, knowing that I'm justified in not playing, and not have to deal with the criticism of everybody out there who doesn't know that I'm playing at less than 100%.
But with Jair and I played with guys like this, is it because it makes him look bad or it makes the team look bad?
That's a fair question.
It's all about him.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that one. I continue just think about like how hard it is to play defensive back in this league with all the rules
favoring,
pretty much designed against you,
favoring offensive.
And now you've got a bad knee on top of it.
Like, I know, but Gabe, then Halfley can adjust to that, and he can say, "All right, we're not going to put him in a man-to-man.
Sure,
we're going to put him in zone. You know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to have him chase across the field. We'll just leave him in zone. Is he a pro all-pro player this year? No, but he's still better than most out there playing zone.
But then here comes the problem, Chu, of going back to that defensive line. And as much as Jeff Halfley wants to then blitz from time to time, like you've got to be able to put your corners on an island every once in a while, right? Because you can't because the defensive line isn't good enough where they can just generate pressure with four and you can just sit back in those zone coverages. You want to be able to bring five or six and then your corners are on an island. That's maybe as crazy as that is, maybe if the defensive line or Sean Gary's playing up to his potential, maybe that would have allowed Jair to play more. I don't know.
John weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. Remember, you can always stream the show on YouTube, saying this whole Jair situation has really backfired, especially if you look at the bigger picture, trading Douglas and passing on Lattimore. I also still always go back to Cooper DeJean.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously that was a lot of people in the draft who were talking about, oh, Cooper DeJean would be perfect in a Packers uniform. He'd be great in that with those defensive backs. And then here we are.
I mean, they've got Jordan Morgan. We'll see if that pick ends up playing out because he's been hurt this year. They're going to need offensive line help next year. We'll have to wait and see.
I think the most important thing, and this is totally hypothetical, this is one of those things where we're just projecting. We could never know one way or another. But he went 0-4. In the NFC North losses against the Vikings and the Lions. Does Jair being out there earn them wins in any of those games?
Probably not. I mean, maybe the second Lions game, the one in Detroit, because that was tight, that was back and forth. I don't know how much of a difference he makes in the falling behind the way they did. Against Detroit at home. Well, he was in that game. So I don't know how much that factors in there. Minnesota, they fell down so far behind and had to play catch up anyway. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if he leads to a victory in any one of those games.
I still think he's living off of what he did 3 years ago. I don't think he's as good a player. And I think we overrate how good he is. That's just what I think.
It's hard to tell, Chu, because he's never out there. I can't.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's good anymore because he's never
playing.
You need
to see him against the top-tier competition. Yeah. You can't see him against second-tier receivers and go, oh, my God, he's a world beater.
Great that he had pick six against Tennessee. Cool. Yeah. who are you defending?
Roberto weighing in on the YouTube page saying, it's a meniscus. You don't scope for a PCL. Roberto, we're just going off of all the information that is out there. Packers reporting that it was a torn PCL originally sustained on October 27th. So just putting the information out there and where we are getting it from. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still lots to get to this morning. Do you guys think Matt LaFleur is excited about a potential game in Ireland? Also, want to talk about how the Packers are choosing to approach this game against the Bears. It's not a must-win game, but I think it's a must-win game. You don't have to win, but I think you do, if that makes sense.
Doesn't.
We'll get into that later on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Axe Golf at American Family Field is open year-round. It's the place you need to be heading to work on your game this offseason, especially if you're working downtown. Sneak over there for a quick lunch, get some swings in, enjoy the great food menu that they have. Cheeseburger's pretty good. If you're out there with some pals, the pan pizza that they have at Axe Golf at American Family Field is fantastic. But because it overlooks left field inside the stadium, and it's such a unique space, you also should be thinking about Axe Golf at American Family Field for that next corporate event that you might be hosting. Great event space. They can set up different games on the simulators, but even if not everybody at the party's a golfer, they're going to enjoy the space because that's how cool it is inside X Golf and American Family Field. Find out more. Book your sim time today. xgolfamfamfield.com.
Brett on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line 800-990-3776 if you want to get into the show. Hope everybody is having a great start to their 2025. What position group are the Packers better than the Vikings, Lions, or Eagles? I don't think anyone. Chu, anything come to mind when you think of a position group, offensive or defensive, that the Packers boast better than the Vikings, the Lions, or the Eagles?
I would say the Packers' D is better than Detroit.
Across the board.
But
that's just because Detroit's beat up, right? Like, that's
only in Minnesota. Offensively, better than... I don't think they're better than any of them.
What about running back? Josh Jacobs? Than Saquon Barkley, but, I mean, would you argue that Josh Jacobs is
better than Aaron Jones?
He's better than...
the Lions are down to
Jahmyr
one.
Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah. Well, I mean, and the thing about Jahmyr is he has proven the last two games he can be that bell cow. He can be that back. 20-plus touches, over 100 yards in each of their last two games. So
no?
I think those two are probably close to a push.
What about all O-lines across the board? Oh, probably not.
The hardest thing to...
Not Detroit.
Yeah.
But not Detroit.
Not Maybe Detroit, a push not with Minnesota. Well, but Minnesota, like... I mean, Jen was talking about it on Monday about how clean they keep Sam Darnold and how they allow him to be able to sit back there and have the most time of any quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, but is that because the Packers' D-line sucks?
Well, but that, I mean, they've done that.
It's been the whole season.
Yeah, they've done that the entire season. Like, he's had across, you know, that wasn't just a Sunday thing. That was a, over the last 16 games, he's been able to sit back there and have the most time all year long. And the Packers' offensive line is really good. I like their offensive line. It's a top five offensive line.
Yeah.
Those other three teams might be, you know, three of the four that are ahead of the Packers.
What's the line going to be? Six?
For the first round game?
If they're playing Philly? Jair? You know?
So I'll see
if there's early lines.
Yeah, well, there wouldn't be an early line, I think, for that, just to see if the guy that Joshie always uses for future lines.
They project out.
Yeah, see if he's got anything on his Twitter feed. Doesn't look like he does.
I will pose the question to our loyal listeners. Is there any position group that the Packers boast that is better than the Vikings, the Lions, or the Eagles? Now, the Eagles, again, are top tier, right?
Yep.
Shockingly, when I was crunching those numbers yesterday, the Packers are a top 10 defense against the run. Which, again, they haven't been for a very long time. They are not that against the pass.
No.
I think they're 17th, I think.
Okay. It's not the worst.
It's not great,
not
Bob.
Not the worst. We roll on after this. Still want to talk about the college football playoffs and the things that happened yesterday on the field, including that targeting non-call in the Arizona State-Texas game. Want to get Chewy's reaction to that after this.